You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Today, we are talking about something that is very near and dear to my heart. And for those of you who know me on a friendly level, you know that I am an HD addict. I have a gigantic Blu-ray collection on my wall that I'm staring at right now. And one of the things that I was super excited about was the TNG Blu-ray transfer. And Charlene, do you have any of those, or what did you think about that release when you heard about TNG going to Blu-ray?
When I heard about it, I was pretty ecstatic, but maybe not for the same reasons as you, which we are going to get into, because I am the extras junkie, you are the pixel junkie. Mm-hmm. So we are in love with these things for two very different reasons, I think. I love the behind-the-scenes stuff. I love the interviews, any kind of extras that they throw in these things, because I have the DVDs. I mean, I bought them, you know, so long ago, I don't even remember when. It's been a while now. And so I thought, okay, well, I wasn't really ready to buy on Blu-ray just yet until I learned about the extras. And so I have ever so slowly been trying to get the collection. I am not by any means current, and I don't even have any of Enterprise yet. So,
okay.
I am taking my time, unfortunately. Like, we just got like a really decent Blu-ray player last year. Okay, so I wasn't really motivated until then. I know we just barely like got a nice HD TV last year. We are slowly joining the 21st century. Like, my husband and I were not really into TV until we actually upgraded and got a better TV. Go figure.
Well, you just got another HD TV, right, during Thanksgiving?
No, this was the first one.
Oh, that was the first one. So that wasn't even a year ago. That was just a couple of months ago.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we are behind the curve here. But we're slowly catching up. And if and when Voyager comes out on DVD, I am going to buy those as they come out, because Voyager is my baby.
Well, that is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Voyager on Blu-ray and if and when it's going to happen. And we are going to assume it's going to happen because we're hoping so dearly.
You got to think it's going to happen.
You got to think it's going to happen, because one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up TNG, and like, I'm caught up on TNG, like, I have all of the releases.
Oh, do you? Nice.
On Blu-ray, but I only have one season of Enterprise on Blu-ray. I feel like I can wait for those prices to go down, because...
They probably will.
They probably will, and one of the things with Enterprise is that it was shown in HD. It was shown in 720.
Right.
And you can get HD transfers of it online and on Netflix and everything like that, but... As you said, I was a pixel junkie, so when I can get it in 1080, I'm like, oh, let's get it in 1080. You know, it's not such of a big deal, because it was shot digitally, and all of the special effects were done in computer, like new age, you know, like 2005-ish, you know, so it's not that long ago. And with TNG, the reason why this was such a revolution in technology and such a surprise that it actually happened, because for years... You go around the interwebs, and they were talking about, like, yeah, it's never going to happen. You know, it was shot on film, but it was edited on tape.
Right. A lot of work.
Yeah, it was composited on tape. And so it's just going to take a lot of work, and it's never going to happen. But thankfully, CBS knew the loyalty of us.
Yes, yes, yes.
As Star Trek
fans. We will keep bringing you the money if you keep pumping it out.
They know they have us. Like, when I talk to non-geeks... I tell them, I was like, listen, we drive the economy, because we will spend money on everything and anything.
It's true.
I just got another Star Trek mug just because it had the Delta Shield on it. It doesn't hold the coffee any better. It wasn't limited edition. It wasn't held by Patrick Stewart. It just had the Delta Shield on it.
It doesn't matter, man. If you find something you really like, you've got to have it.
You got to have it. And so with TNG, I mean, it takes so much work and so much money. But the thing is, with Voyager, it would not... Well, okay, here's the thing. This is some of the things that we need to talk about.
Yeah, okay.
So with TNG, it was shot on film. Thank goodness. It was shot on 35 millimeter film. Mm-hmm. And that is what movies are mainly shot on.
Right.
And
for those who don't know, who have only grown up in the digital age.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you who don't know, like, most major motion pictures are shot on 35 millimeter. Don't write me letters. I understand there's a digital revolution going on. I wrote the paper on it. Okay, I got it. But for the most part, 35 millimeter. It's a stylist choice now, but in the day, it was quality. So with that in mind, it was a TV show and they had to save money. So they did this. They transferred the special effects onto tape and then they cut it on tape. And so in order to do that, they'd have to rescan all of the film and recomposite the special effects, because when they did a ship flyby in TNG, you had a negative plate, you had a regular plate, you had a shadow cast, you had a light pass. And I know I'm not getting the names quite right, but you had to do... Whenever you had a ship fly by, you had to film it four different ways.
Yes.
And then composite it together and then put the planet behind it. And now if this was all done on film and cut on film, all they'd have to do is just rescan the negative, the final negative. But there was no final negative in TNG.
Yes. I remember the special that they had where they went through this process and showed it to us. And I had no idea at the time it took that many takes to make one 5 second scene, just the Enterprise flying by. Really? Yes, every single freaking time. That's how they did it back then. There was no CGI.
Yeah. Yeah. And like when there was CGI, like the visual effects artist on TNG in the 80s and 90s had to fight for CGI, and it was only just little bits here and there. Just little bits here and there.
Oh yeah. I mean, that was in its infancy.
Very infancy. And he was saying, he's like, no, let's do it. You know, let's have a CGI Enterprise. And everybody's like, no. And I'm glad that they didn't, because there's something about the model that just looks so fantastic. And that's why they're pouring so much money into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that in these remasters, it's mainly the model just rescanned at 1080. But some of the plates were lost, and so they had to use a CGI Enterprise just here and there. And it's clear, there's clearly a difference. Now, Voyager was the first to go completely CGI.
Right, yeah. Other sci-fi shows have, like, did some CGI, like Babylon 5 and whatnot. But as far as Star Trek goes, yeah, Voyager was the first. They started off with the models,
right?
You know, when things first got started. But by about 1997 or so, we have all CGI. I mean, we wouldn't have had Species 8472 without pure CGI. I think we mentioned that on our show specifically about that species. It just wouldn't have happened.
And so the thing is like what I'm wondering about is that in TNG, there are certain special effects that they just upgraded to 1080p from the original models and the original negative and everything like that. But there are other special effects that they had to completely redo. So there was the planets that they redid, some like phaser blasts and things like that, just because it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
And a few ships here and there that they took out. Now with Voyager, since they didn't start out with full CGI, I'm wondering, okay, so are they just going to, like, are they just going to rescan the models that they did? Or because Voyager was so heavily CGI in later seasons, are they just going to redo everything and make everything CGI? And on top of that, are they going to use the same digital files like Lightwave and Creations and then just upgrade the texture and lighting? Or are they going to completely redesign like Species 8472 from scratch? You know, what's going to happen?
Right. Yeah. I didn't even think of this part of the topic that in depth. And you know what? I really wish we had the Okudas guesting with us, because they would be the ones to say, because they're going to be the ones who are going to do it.
Exactly.
But maybe we can do that on a future show.
Maybe.
That, let's make that a goal of ours. But yeah, it really makes you think, okay, what exactly are they going to change? What are they going to keep? What are they going to enhance? What's going to look just a little bit sharper, a little bit different? That's what this show is really all about, our wish list, the things that we want to see. So, Tristan, why don't you kick us off? What are some of the episodes, Mr. Pixel Junkie, that you are most excited to see in HD?
Well, see, the thing is that with Voyager being such a CGI-heavy show, is that I feel like there's so many great things that they can improve upon and do, but I don't think I have one episode where I'm like, yeah, this would be amazing in Blu-ray. I mean, like, I feel like all of them would benefit, but there's just, yeah, like certain moments. There's certain moments that I feel would definitely enhance the experience. And I feel the first one that comes to mind is Timeless.
Of course. Is at the top of my list too. How can it not?
Exactly. I mean, just that opening shot of Voyager underneath the ice, and mm-hmm. then that shot when it crashes is just amazing. And it's already fantastic. It's already yes. amazing. And yeah. they did such a good job with the CGI. That's why I asked the question. I was like, okay, are they just going to build it from scratch? Or maybe those digital files exist and they can just upgrade them. They can just add texture, add better lighting, make it 1080p. You know, right. it's just, it makes me wonder.
I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, it's already fantastic. That's one of the most amazing sequences done in CGI in all of Voyager. It's already good, but can you imagine how much better and sharper it's going to be? Oh, yeah. I think you're turning me into a pixel junkie because I'm just going to be drooling all over that.
Seriously, just think about the added depth and the and the texture and just the atmosphere that'll add to the realism. Because just the other day, I saw a special on how they treated the snow in Frozen.
Mm.
And the snow treatment was absolutely mind-blowing. Just the individuality of each clump of snow, about how if a character steps in the snow, it doesn't make the same pattern twice.
Oh, wow.
And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. And it just makes me realize that, you know, with something like when this was in 97 or whenever it was, you know, you could tell like it was digital snow, you know, like it would flail out and, you know, it still looked good, but we all knew it was digital.
Right.
With this new kind of technology, and by the time we get to Voyager on Blu-ray, because we still have to have Deep Space Nine before
right.
we get to Voyager, if they follow that pattern.
And I think they will.
And I think they will too.
So really, I'm expecting 2015, an announcement in 2015 at the earliest.
An announcement, and maybe we'll see it in 2017 or hell, I don't know, 2020? You know?
God, I don't want to wait that long. No.
But the thing is, you know, like we'll have a different format by then, you know, but at least, you know, we could still get high definition.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, what I was trying to say is that even today, it's mind blowing. And just imagine what it's going to be like by the time they actually get to that episode.
Right. Yeah, that's season 5. We've got a long way to go. And as good as that's going to be, when I started thinking about this topic, what actually got me really interested is thinking about what's going to look extraordinarily better because it's on Blu-ray. Like, if you think about season 1 of TNG, a lot of those special effects are just absolutely stunningly redone. You know, as they were meant to originally be. It's just things like budget and the technology at the time just really couldn't make it happen. Now it can. So it got me thinking about like early Voyager and what is going to look extraordinarily better, like a big makeover, if you will. I'm thinking maybe Caretaker, the Badlands, are going to look freaking awesome.
That's the thing, is that even just the little stuff like the storms and the nebulae mm-hmm. and all the swirls, it's just going to be amazing.
Yeah, totally. Another thing I thought about, and I'm surprised you haven't even brought it up yet, is Twisted.
Oh, I thought about it.
Because that was very early CGI, all that weird warping. I'm very curious to see what they will do with that, because I have a feeling it's going to look really cool.
I can't wait for that episode. I mean, you know I love that episode, and I'd love mm-hmm. to see it in HD and see the warp effects and just the pass that the alien nebula, or whatever you want to call it, you know, makes its way through. But one thing I really, really, really want to see, and it's just for one shot. It's pretty much just for one shot.
Okay.
And it's in one of my least favorite episodes of all time.
Which one?
It's in the episode Nightingale.
Okay.
And we open up the episode with Voyager landed on an uninhabited planet. And
yeah.
Yeah, the nacelles are exposed. There's class 2 shuttles taking out coils from the nacelles, and you see all types of work being done on Voyager, and it's just, again, it's another example of great CGI with a great background and a great environment, and this can only be enhanced and just quality added to it. And it's just, I would watch that episode tons of times over and over again if it was just for that shot in HD.
So you're not going to watch just that shot? You're going to watch the whole episode? Because I would just watch that and then, okay, the rest, maybe not.
Maybe I'm not that dedicated. Maybe I'll just do that.
Maybe once watch the whole thing, but then once you've got it, okay, move on. That's what I might do.
While I'm still remembering it, one other thing that I'd love to see in Blu-ray, and it's not for CGI, it's not for Nebula, it's not for ships, it's not for anything that's really a big special effect, but it's for the quality of the costumes and the ambiance, and that would be The Killing Game.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Think about the different environments we see, the Klingons, the Hirogen, mm-hmm. Paris in World War II, just the Nazi uniforms, the guns.
Yeah.
It's just everything was done so well in the show, and the costumer was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And just imagine getting to see all of that, including a huge explosion at the end of The Killing Game,
yes,
part one.
Definitely.
For a non-CGI episode, I feel like that would be a great one.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to be a really good one, because we're going to get to see just how good the makeup artists and the costume artists really were. Because mm-hmm. we'll see them in just perfect detail. And you know that they were good, but now we actually get to really appreciate just how good these people really were. That's one mm-hmm. thing I am getting out of the Blu-rays as they come out. I admire it. I really do. The attention to detail, even back then when they knew it was going to be like blurry or it's not going to quite get seen in its entirety as we see it now, they still went the extra mile and really made it something.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, you know, they knew that people were only going to see it on a foggy connection, rabbit ear TV, that you were lucky if it was 27 inches.
Right, yeah.
You were lucky if it was that big. And more often than not, it would be like a 13-inch TV.
Yeah.
And if there was a storm, you wouldn't be able to watch the episode, or it'd be all snowy. And yet they still were like, no, we're professionals, we're artists, and we're going to go the extra mile.
Yeah, yeah.
Which makes me kind of sad, because most of it is just, you know, scanned film, and we get to see their work. But they are replacing some stuff in TNG, and they will replace a lot of that stuff in Voyager. And so it makes me sad, because these people are professionals, and I love it when I get to see their work enhanced, as in, like, it's not doing away with it, just making me see it clearer. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, well, you know, we got to get rid of some of that.
Right.
You know, it's kind of a, you know, which one's better?
It's a trade-off. It's a compromise. It's a tough decision. It is. So what other episodes or moments, because I think we're talking more about moments than whole episodes, I'm actually on board with you on that.
Okay.
Because I don't really care too much about the whole episode of Macrocosm, but I do want to see the giant bugs flying around in HD.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about that stuff too, because Equinox, I feel, is a good two-parter, mm-hmm. but it's not one that I rewatch all the time, but I'd love to see the Nova-class starship, and I'd love to see the aliens fly through whatever those temporal rift or wormhole or whatever you want to call it. Just, I'd love to see those aliens in HD and see if they, you know,
yeah.
redid them or upgraded them.
That's going to be good. I thought about Year of Hell part two for that as well. The end, when Janeway plunges into the fire, when she says time's up and the ship rams into it. I think that stuff's going to be fantastic. One thing that I did think of, one episode that I think is going to be really good from start to finish in a higher quality, is Course Oblivion.
I was thinking about that.
Watching the crew slowly degrade, I mean, it's kind of icky enough. But imagine the detail we're going to see with higher resolution. It's going to be incredible.
Like, seriously, like that moment when like the back of the right nacelle just globs off?
Yeah!
You know? That's a CGI artist's dream.
Yeah,
you know, to do stuff like that. To mutz with the ship in order to warp it and bend it to their will.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be a total, like, fanboy junkie moment of glory right there.
And I know you're going to make fun of me for this.
Okay.
But one episode, like, instead of just talking about moments, even though I did mention the Killing Game as a full episode, another full episode, is Fairhaven.
Of course.
I know I talk about it all the time, but think about the location. Think about the buildings, the horses, the hay, the bar. It's just the overall aesthetic of the show is so unique to the rest of the series.
It is.
You don't see any of that anywhere else except in that episode and Spirit Folk.
Okay, you're right. That's going to look exceptionally good, and it is different. So, okay, for the novelty of that, that gets a pass. Are there any other episodes that you want to mention? Otherwise, I would like to talk about extras.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I want to talk about extras too. And I know you have a lot to say. And so, yeah, let's just jump right into that.
Okay, let's do that. So I think first things first, you've got to have blooper reels because that's what everybody loves.
Oh, yes.
That's the first thing you go to when you watch the extras is you watch the outtakes.
The absolute first thing. I will get the package and I will find out where it is and pull out that disc. Like, I'll get disc 5 and pop it in before I even watch an episode.
Every time I tend to go to the last disc, because it usually is, at least for a TV series, pop it in. We just got this The Office Season 9, popped in the last disc to watch the bloopers. It was a good, like, 30 minutes of bloopers.
Those are the best. Those are the absolute best. The Office bloopers, they know what the fans want and they give them a huge chunk.
Oh, it's delicious. I love it. So I know that there's been some outtakes done because you can find clips of them on YouTube, but there's got to be more and I want to see them all. So I want bloopers. Another thing is I would love to see an interview with all the actors and the writers together, just like Enterprise Season 1. I would love to know, now that there's been some distance between making the series and now, how do they feel about it? What are their opinions? Have they changed since the show was made? I would just like some honest conversation looking back to get some perspective from their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Also, maybe this is an offshoot of this, but I would also, like, just because I love the work of what the writers do, the process that they have to go through, I would love to know the things that they thought about what was challenging about making Voyager. By this time, a lot of them had been doing this for years. So was it coming up with the new alien species of the week? Coming up with novel sci-fi ideas? What was the process they had to go to? How many people did they have to answer to? The network, was it more difficult? I'm sure there's plenty of things that we as the fans don't know that would just be fascinating if they were willing to speak about it.
Absolutely, because there were times in the Enterprise interviews where they got really honest.
Yeah.
Where they even talked about the last episode.
Okay. Yes, I heard about this. I've not seen it, but I've heard about it.
And it's absolutely amazing. And also, I feel like with Deep Space Nine and Voyager, you know, it was going on at the same time for some of it. And with Deep Space Nine, they had a clear vision. They had a clear vision of what they wanted the show to look like, and they had a clear trajectory, too. And there was so much that the producers wanted to do, and the studio was just like, no, we don't want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to tie your hands. That story has been told time and time again on so many different shows where we had this vision and the man didn't let us do it.
Yeah.
And with Voyager, they didn't really have that. You know, they didn't have that clear trajectory of what they wanted to do or where they wanted to go. I don't feel like there was that much limitation from the studio. I didn't get that sense that they got in their way too much. And so I'd love to know exactly what you're talking about. About, like, what problems did you face? Like, what hurdles did you have to overcome besides just viewership problems? And, you know, clearly they solved that by season 4.
Well, they tried. And actually, Voyager's ratings continued to decline ever so steadily throughout its run. Here's what I'm talking about with this. Because DS9 was in syndication, I mean, numbers didn't mean quite so much. And yes, of course, they had to answer to the studio. But even the DS9 writers have acknowledged we got away with more because we were the redheaded stepchild and we were not getting the kind of attention that was being dealt to TNG when they were running concurrently with that show. And then Voyager when it was the new baby.
It was a flagship, for a network.
Yeah, so it was a really huge deal and there were a lot more eyes going into that process. And DS9, meanwhile, they are taking more risks. They are telling bigger stories. They are doing arcs, which was not very common at the time. They are trying a lot of things. And yes, they could have done even more and got shot down. But what they did get away with was, I would dare say, a risk for Trek. And more power to them for it.
And I'm going to interject real quick and mention to all that Ronald D. Moore did actually tweet me back when I asked him a question, and I've never been more happier on Twitter. And the question I asked him was, looking back at the success of the final arc in season 7, do you ever wish that you could have done that with more of the seasons? And he replied with, I always look back and wish that the studio would let us do what we wanted to from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought that was very interesting. I'd love to see what that looked like. And with Voyager, I'd love to know those stories. Absolutely.
Me too. That brings me to another thing that I would love to see as an extra. I would love to know about any kind of story ideas or aliens or some kind of concepts they were brainstorming in the writer's room that never took off for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. The hidden stories or like the pitched concepts that were just kind of shot down immediately.
Right. Like everything from the gratuitously insane, like no way are we ever going to be able to do this, to this almost happened, but then one thing shut it down. I want to know about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like Jerry Taylor came up to us and had a fantastic 4-part story of the Chakotay and Janeway wedding. And we just didn't feel like it was really appropriate.
Oh, you are making the relationship so sad right now.
And then they burn the script in front of us and say, you're never going to read it.
Oh, my God. You're killing me right now. That brings me to another extra that must make it onto the Voyager Blu-rays, or they are not going to sell anything of season 4. If they include this one scene, I can guarantee you that thousands of relationshippers, they will see inflated sales if they put in the kiss that was filmed between Janeway and Chakotay for Hunters.
What?
Yes, this happened. It was filmed. It got chopped on the editing floor.
This is new to me.
What? Really?
I've never heard of this.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this.
Tell me. The ending
of Hunters had two different versions. The one that we saw where they're talking about the Dear John letter in both instances, but the scene that got cut had a very different outcome.
And this was at the end of Hunters?
Yes, I'm dead serious. There is a scene between Janeway and Chakotay where she says to Chakotay, so what'll it be, Chakotay? Indulge my feelings? Hold fast to protocol? What? And then Chakotay says in response, you've got plenty of time to think about it. Janeway smiles, and then they cut!
Okay, so where did you see this?
I saw this online, and you can actually go to YouTube and see it. There is a clip. It's not very high resolution. It's a small video size because I think it's like the original that they released, you know, on the internet in 1997. But it's still out there. You can see it and you can hear it just fine. And that is apparently a relic from that scene. And it was released before the episode, obviously, because ultimately it did not make it.
Okay, all right. We're going to pause real quick because I am not going to wait one more second until I see this footage.
Go to YouTube now.
All right.
It was a year that brought them closer together.
So what will it be, Chakotay? Indulge my feelings, hold fast to protocol. What?
You have plenty of time to think about it.
Oh! Oh!
See, isn't that amazing?
It's absolutely amazing. Why didn't they keep that scene?
I know, right?
Oh, just that smile that she has at the end.
I know.
And just the, like, what it'll be, Chakotay. Chakotay.
I wish the listeners could have seen this, like, weird lustrous gaze you had on your face as you said that. Just, you nail it perfectly. Oh, my God, that was eerie.
Okay. Well, listeners, we're going to put that link in the show notes so that you can see what we saw. And that's so amazing. And in TV production and film production, that happens all the time. Like you see a shot or a clip or a take that's different in the promo, in the trailer and whatever. And then it's because they haven't finished the product yet.
That's right.
And then it lands on the cutting room floor. Man, I think that would have been weird in season 4, but
they could have taken it slow and played with it. But of course they didn't. We've gone through all of that. But what a thing to leave out there for all of us to observe and be bitter about all these years. So if that's not in the season 4 Blu-ray, I'm going to be pissed.
Man, okay. So I think you have made the best special feature package that could ever be attached.
Thank you.
To Voyager. So let's end on that note.
Okay, we need to wrap this up.
Because that was a fantastic list, and I wish I could see that stuff now in high definition.
Well, with any luck, in a couple of years, we're going to start getting it. So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Char, I think we have a new iTunes review. Is that correct?
We do. We have another one that came in this week, and we would like to thank Janie. That's right. Six Y's in her name. I'm guessing it's a lady, because Jane. And she wrote us a nice 5-star iTunes review. So thank you very much. And if you have not written us an iTunes review yet and you want to be among the cool people, you do that and we'll give you a shout on the show. But Voyager on Blu-ray is by far not the only thing that's been discussed this week on the network. So here's a little preview of what else is happening.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Janice Rand.
And Rand braces for impact against Kirk.
If I were on that bridge and I needed a brace for impact, I would totally grab Kirk.
I'd grab Rand.
You'd grab Rand? All right.
Yeah. Well,
different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Earl Grey.
Missing 24th century technology.
How about, like, a gun that shoots hypo sprays?
No, I assume you mean it shoots out the the chemical.
Ow! There's like a little mechanical thumb that dispenses it.
The Ready Room.
Affliction and Divergence.
Yeah, the other interesting thing about that, though, is to compare the Klingon ethics with the Section 31 ethics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there are some groups within the Klingons who maybe don't feel exactly the same way. But then there's this group within the humans who feels completely different. And you kind of wonder what the Klingons think maybe about someone who wouldn't do this.
The Orb.
Implications of genetic enhancement.
And our scientific advancement is picking up pace all the time, our technological advancement. I think the urge for us to artificially enhance ourselves is going to be too great for us to ignore.
To the journey!
Resolutions rewrite.
Overall, this is a great story. It's about like love and loss and about moving on and not being able to move on, and it has some baddies at the end, you know, and it's just, it's good.
Come on, this is why Harlequin paperbacks get sold.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Iris Stephen Bear, Crash.
I love Iris Stephen Bear as much as anyone can love a television showrunner who they never met.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good. I'm glad you put that on the end there.
Warp 5.
Xenophobia and the Coalition of Planets.
Justification in his mind is that the Vulcans were observing us. Mm. They knew the war was happening. Mm. They didn't do anything to stop it. But, you know, it really wasn't the place of the Vulcans to step in and stop World War III.
Literary Treks.
James Swallow, the Poison Chalice.
Everybody in this story is dragged into a situation they don't want to be in. And that's kind of where the title, The Poison Chalice, originally came from, is the idea that, you know, Riker is given this promotion, which on paper sounds like a really great idea, but it's a poison chalice. You know, it turns out that it's not what he thought it was. And in fact, you know, he's being dragged into something that he doesn't want to be involved in.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check us all out. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Xbox, Zune. I mean, you name it, you can find it. You can also go to trek.fm/pd for the podcast directory, and it's all there as well. So before we go, let's talk a little bit about Audible.com, our sponsor. Tristan, why don't you tell us more?
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm. Well, thank you so much for listening, and please tune in next week, because next week we're going to talk about something probably controversial. All of us have our own opinions, and all of us have our own perspective on things, and we're going to talk about our top three decisions that Janeway has made, her top three best decisions. Now, a lot of people have a lot of criticisms towards Janeway and how she dealt with certain things in the Delta Quadrant. But we're going to talk about the decisions that she made that we think were right.
Yes, and this is probably going to be a very good discussion. I have a feeling that nobody's three choices are going to be quite the same, and why. So I'm really looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it as well, and I'm also looking forward to an episode that we do further down the road where we talk about the top three worst decisions that Janeway made.
We're going to have to, right? Yin and yang.
It's going to have perfect symmetry. Well, until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!